Good morning, Devin. I remembered where I was. I should have never went back the other week. It messed me up. If you're new and I just want or came in a little bit late when we introduced ourselves, I'm Pastor Bert, and I want to welcome you. And I'm so happy to have everybody joining us during our Back to Church Fall series that we call Together. You know, whether in line or in person, it's wonderful to have so many new and familiar friends with us, both new and familiar, right? Now, you may not be aware of this, but the whole Back to Church movement started as a simple fall kickoff theme, but has grown into an annual event right across North America. And we're excited to be participating and celebrating with many other churches to refocus on the true nature of the church as a people who love and offer hope to our friends, our neighbors, communities, and our world. As a church, we're the collective hands and feet of Jesus who reflect him and do his work in the world. As we grow in our relationships with him and with one another. And that's not just us as a group of friends and family within these four walls. It also includes those gathering in churches right across our town, all over the country, and around the world. But sometimes the church has not done a very good job of that calling, to represent Jesus' heart and do his work in the world. I know that most people have a personal story or experience with the church, some good and life-giving, some bad and painful. For those of you whose experience may have been hurtful, I'm sorry. For however or whoever hurt you, especially if it was me. But I want to tell you, that no matter what path brought you here today, we're glad to welcome you and look forward to getting to know you, because life is better together. Together is the theme of our Back to Church series, as I said. And as I thought about togetherness and what it means for us to be followers of Jesus, I thought of Legos. All these neat little things. Thank you to Nathan and Gracie for passing them on to me so I had something to actually show you. This favorite childhood toy, just a small plastic brick with little raised circles, right? We're all familiar with them. Who could imagine that something as small and insignificant as this today is worth billions of dollars. Literally a fortune. The Danish toy company has built a Lego empire around these little building bricks that they introduced back in the 1950s. Individually, they're just cheap pieces of plastic, right? And I might add that they have also been the cause of great pain to many parents who in the darkness of night have stepped on the lone Lego in their child's bedroom. Some of you are just experiencing some flashbacks, yes. But despite their very, very basic design, the magic is in the way they fit together, right? Legos are designed to be together. That's what those little raised circles are for, to attach one brick to another. And together, these plastic pieces can be made into fantastic creations. Full-scale models of castles, cars, airplanes, spaceships have all been built from Legos. And if you've ever been to one of the Legoland theme parks, Or I suppose even the store in the mall, in West Edmonton Mall, you've been treated to some scaled replicas of the world's most famous buildings, landmarks, vehicles, all that sort of things. It seems that Legos can be put together to create almost anything. Yet they are just little pieces of plastic. But together, they create something bigger and better than the sum of their parts. Pretty amazing, eh? I think the church is a lot like Legos. A collection of individuals of various sizes, shapes, colors. Individually, we may not be much to look at. But when we come together the way God intended, we form the church, which is a creation much greater than its individual members. God takes our chaos and by his design makes something spectacular and gives us purpose. And Legos are just, they're a fun example, right? And to me, really illustrate the fun factor that comes from this whole concept of togetherness. Life is better together. Working and playing are both better together, right? The concept of togetherness can be powerful and life-changing. That's why Jesus invites us to come together with himself and together with one another. Together, we're on a journey of transformation. And during this season, I hope that you'll experience what you experience is a taste of belonging, the belonging that we can all feel here together. And that gives us, hopefully, a desire to come back for more. Whether you're a regular attender, a first-time guest, or still on the fence about church, I invite you to commit to joining us for the rest of the series. We're going to explore quite a bit of this whole concept of together, what it means for us individually, together as a church, and really as part of this world as a whole. Last week, Pastor Cole shared about how together we grow in service. And over the next several weeks, we're going to discover together how we can grow in peace, in love, in strength, in worship, and in purpose. We're going to start this journey, though I want to give you a bit of a roadmap to get us headed in the right direction. The guide for our journey comes from the Bible's letter to the Ephesian church. While in prison in Rome, the early church leader named Paul wrote a letter to a group of followers of Jesus in Ephesus, a Greek city whose ruins are now part of Turkey. It's believed that this was written about 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's believed that this, is the New Testament's book of Ephesians. We know that, right? Those of us that are familiar with the Bible. And togetherness really seems to be the theme that Paul drives at in this letter again and again. He keeps coming back to it over and over. And as we study this letter, it's kind of neat, I think, to realize that this is really what the original church in Ephesus did about 2,000 years ago, right? I know you know this, but the people of Ephesus, they didn't have smartphones. They didn't. Some of the young people are going, what? Right? They didn't have internet. They didn't have TV. They didn't even have radio, right? And I want to remind you of that, of this obvious fact, because it's easy to forget that original context and culture that the people at that time lived in. And like all of the early church, those in Ephesus, they got their information in a very communal way. Although Paul wrote to them in a letter, the people receiving it received the letter by gathering together and listening to the letter be read aloud to them. When it came to processing and understanding what the letter meant, the church did so together. Together they listened. Together they learned. Together they shared and discussed and wrestled through the challenges of living out their faith in Jesus in the midst of a culture that operated in a vastly different way than them. So we'll be following their lead together in discussing and wrestling with the ways that Jesus invites us to live, both together with him and with one another. The port city of Ephesus was once considered a very important Greek city and a trading center in the whole Mediterranean region. The Romans made it a provincial capital, and it was home to the Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. So Ephesus was big. It was bustling, with many people coming and going to worship all kinds of things, or to do business, or just to pass from one region into the next. In the early history of the church, Ephesus became a place where the message of Jesus actually spread very quickly, and many people came to believe in him. The Bible's book of Acts tells us that Paul had previously spent time in Ephesus before writing this letter, telling them about Jesus. So he knew the culture. He knew the challenges this young church was facing. He knew that they were a multi-ethnic group surrounded and challenged by lots of other ideas, beliefs, and practices. So not unlike the church today, the church in Ephesus needed the strength of unity, of togetherness to grow and survive. So Paul wrote this letter to encourage and instruct them in their faith and in their life with Jesus and each other. And he structured the letter in such a way that it's actually quite easy to follow. The first half of the letter of Ephesians basically looks at how Jesus' life, death, and resurrection changed the world. Part one describes God's redemptive plan to bring humans together with himself through Jesus. Part two then gets very practical, how we should live in response to God's grace and how we should relate to each other. Then the second half of the book focuses on how Jesus changes our lives. So in following the lead of Paul's letter, we're going to spend today and next Sunday looking at the peace and love that were given to us through the life and sacrifice of Jesus. Then we'll look at how, in light of our shared faith in Jesus, we should worship him together. We should grow stronger together. And together, we should impact our world. So, we know our world today seems to be spiraling into a chaotic absence of peace, right? They speak of peace while actively promoting hatred and division. But in order to experience peace in our world, people need to experience it first in their hearts and minds. So as we explore today's concept that together we grow in peace, let's dive into our main text this morning from Ephesians 2, starting at verse 17. It says, he, Christ, came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So in the first of the 3 points that Paul makes in this text, the first is concerning the belonging of peace, that sense of belonging. Have you ever found yourself, or maybe someone you know, searching for a place to belong? Searching for a way to be part of something bigger than yourself, perhaps. Where can you experience that sense of belonging. Paul says that the church is our place of belonging, rooted in the restoration of our relationship with Jesus and the unity, fellowship, and togetherness brought through our common faith in Jesus. Here, nobody can claim a higher position or status because all of us are of the same status. We're all sinners in need of grace. Earlier in chapter 2, Paul had emphasized the fact that the very life we have received from God is only because of God's grace. He said, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so that none of us could ever boast about it. When we recognize that it's God's grace alone that has saved us, it compels us to open our hearts and our arms to others in gratitude of what Jesus has done for us. We have all been there, haven't we? We've all experienced similar needs, and we have all been offered the same gift, grace. Grace does not allow exclusion. Instead, it brings us together in unity. Paul goes on to explain how Christ's purpose was to unify the two major divisions of people in the world. He broke it down to Jews and Gentiles, those who were near and those who were far from God. By identifying these two groups, Paul's basically including everyone on the planet. Those who weren't Jews, weren't a part of God's covenant people, were simply called Gentiles. But Paul clarified, Christ himself has brought peace between us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. So by coming to save the world, all the people of the world, Jesus broke down the deepest divisions of eternity between God and man and the deepest divisions of humanity between God's covenant people and the rest of us. In doing away with that separation, he brought peace, real, lasting, ultimate peace. Obviously, that peace will not be completely realized until Jesus returns to complete God's ultimate restoration of the world. But through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the door to peace has been opened to us all. And it brings a divine unity as a definitive characteristic of God's people. We're to love one another, right? Paul is clear that we grow in peace through our unity together. But that does not mean uniformity or, you know, sameness, all everybody doing, acting, looking the same. The church at Ephesus was full of diversity. And the goal was not to change that. The goal of bringing us together was unity in the midst of those differences. Something that was beyond what those things that might make us different, right? And it's the same goal for the church today. So we find peace. Not by separating ourselves from the world or from others, but by leaning into the grace and the unity that Jesus brings us. What would happen in our lives and community if church was a place to come together in peace and allow God to remove any and all walls of hostility and division? How might this change Devon? I wonder. How might it change Devon Community Church? Let's be people of unity. Amen? Let's be people of grace. Let's be a people of peace. The second point Paul makes is concerning the presence of peace. News stories demonstrate every day that division and discord is the aim as they push their agenda of fear through prejudice and discrimination. And we've recently seen firsthand how their propaganda affects those with troubled minds and hard hearts as the world witnessed the loss of a great prophetic voice and dear Christian brother. Yet the headlines, rather than be repentant for their part that they played, continue to proclaim division and conflict of all sorts. People need peace. But peace is not a thing. It's not something you can just grab onto or search for and find. Peace is a person. Paul is crystal clear that Jesus alone is our peace. We will only find peace, both personally and as a church, in relationship with Jesus. And we experience it as a fruit of God's Spirit living in and through us. As Paul describes in the letter to the church in Galatia, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, right? Peace isn't something we can create in ourselves. The Holy Spirit in us is what brings us peace and enables us to live it out in our lives. Together as believers, we are the collective dwelling place of God's Spirit, who is our peace. And that sure sounds good to me, because that tells me I'm never alone. I am a citizen of heaven, a part of the family, and most importantly, I am a part of the house, a temple, the building where God lives by his Spirit. This doesn't mean that our struggles will magically disappear, though, folks. Instead, in the middle of our struggles, together we can experience peace because we all have the presence of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And mainly, he does that to help and comfort, for us to help and comfort one another. We can share, we can offer peace to others when struggling or struggles or disagreements arise, right? When life happens. Because peace is the presence of God in his people. And his presence through the Holy Spirit enables us all to experience peace through him and through one another. To remind one another and the world around us that he alone is the true source of all peace. Where anxiety and fear are strongest, we can be a living reminder that God cares for the details in our lives, as well as the eternal redemptive story of the world, right? So the third and final point we're going to look at today is concerning the way of peace. The way of peace. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just find peace and be done with it? Oh, got that out of the way, checked off the box, right? Now I've got peace for the rest of my life. Peace is not a one-time event. We need to continually grow in it. Because sometimes it seems like just when we find peace in whatever situation we're experiencing, something else comes along, right? And it's like, okay, now I got to come up to this level, and we need peace for that level. And once we experience that, it's like, now this is happening, and we need peace in that area, right? We need to continually grow in it. When peace seems to be missing in an area of our life, when situations and maybe circumstances feel overwhelming, Jesus invites us over and over again to return to him, as we sang, to abide in him. And come together with each other as well, again and again, God's prophets who foretold the coming of Jesus gave him the title Prince of Peace. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus made the way of peace available to each of us. In the face of all of life's battles and general lack of peace in this world, Jesus offers the terms of peace and the way forward. When we follow him, when we surrender to his authority and leadership, we embrace the way of peace. Reminds me of the song, Jesus Way. Yeah, we need to maybe start doing that song. That seems to fit in with this. You know, so many today, the concept of peace seems to be growing more and more impossible. It seems to be so fleeting, so fragile to folks. And that's because the peace that the world offers never seems to last, right? Good news is that when you trust and when you follow Jesus, the peace he gives goes beyond our circumstances, goes beyond our feelings. Our peace is anchored in the never-changing, always-present Spirit of God. Jesus knew the hardships his followers would face when he left them, yet he promised them peace. He said this, and I've got a different, what's on your outline. I actually changed it to the Living Bible just for your reference there. It said, when the Father sends the Comforter instead of me, and by the Comforter, I mean the Holy Spirit. He will teach you much, as well as remind you of everything I myself have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Just as Jesus promises, the Holy Spirit is with us continually and is our eternal source of peace. But as frail and forgetful people, we often need to be reminded of this fact, don't we? We all need encouragement. We all need support. We all need others to relate with in work and in play, in faith and in life. As Christ's church, we can share and grow together in peace, unity, and in common purpose. Paul closes with this picture. He says, in union with him, you two are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through his Spirit. Just like those Legos we talked about earlier, right? We fit together to form a place where God lives through his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's presence fills and enables us with the presence of Christ, with his peace. Why do we come back to church? Why do we invite others to join us? Because coming together here does not just put us in a church. It's here, in fact, where we learn we are the church. And as Christ's church, God's with us. He dwells in us and meets with us when we gather together like this in a wonderful way. It's like Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there among them. So we come together each week to live and to worship in unity, to collectively turn our focus to Jesus and experience the source of our peace, and to offer the way of peace to the world. Together, we're so much greater than the sum of our parts, folks. Together, we encourage and we support others, one another, when we're weak. Together we reflect the love and grace of God to the world around us. And we don't always do that well, do we? Life gets in the way and we drop the ball. But those are usually the times when somebody else comes along to encourage us and remind us, to challenge us, maybe to give us a good one upside the haircut when we need it. And we all need it from time to time. Amen? But maybe you're here, you're watching online today, and you don't know this kind of peace or togetherness in your life. Maybe recent world events are robbing you of peace, filling you with anxiety and fear. When you need that peace, when you need that comfort, you need to put your faith in Jesus and let him lead your life. Peace of mind and peace with God is the gift that he offers you today. If you would believe in him and receive him as the leader of your life, to just follow him now and forever. Jesus came into this world to bring peace. The angels at his birth, you know, every Christmas, we read this. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased. Folks, there's no other way to experience this kind of peace, God's peace. So if you're ready to take that step today, with all our heads bowed, just bow before God. You can simply pray along this simple prayer silently with me. I'll lead you, inviting Jesus, the giver and sustainer of peace, to lead your life and give you his peace. And if this is you, would you just quickly raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with today, and then we can pray together. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for loving me so much that you sent Jesus into this world for me, to restore my relationship with you so I can have peace with you. Lord, I admit I've been living my own way and not living for you or doing things your way. And so I ask for your forgiveness. I want to know you and live for you from this moment on. I accept what Jesus did for me, sacrificing himself to pay the price for my sin. And I believe that he rose again, proving that as God, he alone has power over life and death. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving me peace. Peace with God, peace within, by filling me today with your Holy Spirit. Please lead me and help me to live my best life ever by living your way and sharing what you've done in me today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A couple things as the band comes back. I want to mention, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, if you could fill out a connect card that's in the seat in front of you or link to the video stream online, we'd love to connect with you and just see if there's some way that we can help you and share some resources as you start this new life with Jesus and following him. But I also want to encourage you out in the foyer, if you're here, to sign up for the Alpha course. That's going to start at the end of the month. It is an amazing course that takes you right through just who God is, who Jesus is. Why should we trust the Bible? And it goes through all the evidences for that and everything. And it's just a great first step for folks that are just starting out in this journey. And so I want to encourage you to do that before you go today. With that.